Let's bless the Lord in 1 minute for this vessel. Just speak a word of blessing from where you're standing. Ask the Lord to increase her family, increase her ministry. We bless you with the blessings of this house. You go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you and good evening, everybody. It's good to be back home, and I trust that the Lord will do us good tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. While standing, I'm just going to pray for two groups of people, and then we'll sit down. I believe with all my heart that there are people here who are coming to the end of certain seasons. There are prophetic seasons that I started having this impression in my spirit from last week. You see, you have to discern when seasons come to an end and when other seasons start. The Bible says, talking about the sons of Issachar, he said they had understanding of the times. And so I just want to pray because, keep standing please. There are four things that happen in the life of any man that begin to indicate that certain seasons are coming to an end and then that others are beginning. Number one, there will be an unusual urge to pray, an unusual grace for prayer. It's good to always be prayerful, but when you are stepping into very defining moments, there is an unusual urge to pray. You'll just find out that you almost don't want to be in the midst of people. You want to be alone. This is a very ancient principle I have been teaching for a long time. Just help those under the anointing. An unusual urge to pray. Number two, there will be an unusual urge to give. At that point, when seasons are about to change in your life, you can give almost anything, anything at all. An unusual urge to give. Nothing seems to make sense to you again. Number three, there will be an unusual, sometimes inexplainable attack from the kingdom of darkness. It's like a season where everything just begins to fight you. Pay attention. Everything just begins to fight you. Your job, your spouse, your family. For no known reason, the agitations from hell, because you see, Satan is not omniscient. He does not know all things. So he uses angelic activities to suspect. Why are angels suddenly moving around a family? He knows that angelic activities only happen at the instance of the word. He does not need to know the details. The moment he sees angels ascending and descending, he knows that the word of God has been sent towards that life. And so he will come to find out what is going on. Hallelujah. This is very important. And the final sign is that God orchestrates a prophetic encounter for you. Because you see, prophecy is very powerful. It can announce seasons. It can bring seasons to end. Hallelujah. Let me repeat myself. An unusual urge to pray. An unusual urge to give. Demonic attacks suddenly around your life. And then an encounter with the prophetic. These are biblical signs. There are some of you, I just described you by this exhortation. Therefore, I decree and declare, anyone here who has come to the end of a season, I call upon my God, the God of my covenant. I push you to a new season. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please help those under the anointing.
I push you to a new season, new financial seasons, new spiritual seasons. There are some of you in ministry, there are certain graces you did not carry before, but God is about to be announcing you in new ways. Greater mantles, greater patakatosh, kabepekatosh, kabeprakatekata, karos, kadila, katos, kateprekatia, new anointings, by the kaposh, kadila, kata, by the Spirit of God, I stand by this rod, and I shift you, step into new seasons, step into new dimensions, step into new seasons, climb that ladder in destiny, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Step into new seasons in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you, this is the season you will encounter the mantle of your destiny. Until now, you are Elisha, but you have been a farmer. Whereas in destiny, you are a prophet. I relocate you by the mantle of your destiny. Anywhere you are operating now that is not consistent, inside, outside, I stretch my hands. I call upon the God of my covenant. Step into those mantles. Find the mantle for your destiny. Find the mantle for your destiny. Please make sure you are praying. Don't waste your time. You came here for an encounter. I know what I'm saying. I know what I sense from my spirit. I tell you, there are people here. Where you are is not the mantle of your destiny has been searching for you. You are a prophet. What are you doing in the farm? You are a kingdom financier. What are you doing around? I stand again by the God of my covenant, and I declare, be relocated to the place of destiny. And anyone deceiving you and wasting your time and wasting your destiny, I clear them out of your life. Esther was ordained to be queen, but she was in Shushan. Ruth was ordained to be part of the lineage of Jesus, but she was somewhere experiencing a curse. Peter was a fisherman, whereas his destiny was an apostle. Pray in 1 minute. Align me, oh God, to the place of my relevance, the place of my destiny. I'm tired of escorting others. I'm tired of wondering what to do with my life. Your assignment is as important. Listen to me. Your assignment, if you do not locate the place of destiny, you will keep escorting others. You will get angry. You will get offended. Your breakthrough, your celebration, your relevance is in that place of your assignment. Pray. Father, tonight, it says, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. It has been written of you.
Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, when you come again. Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come again.
Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. O Esther, your season has come. O Ruth, your season has come. O Peter, your season has come. Oh John, your season has come. Elijah, your season has come.
Oh, my season has come. Oh, my season has come. Oh, your season has come. Oh, your season has come. Oh, your season has come. Oh, ay 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 ay.
Hallelujah. I'm seeing a grace for prophetic psalmistry. There are many of you, you have been called into this, a dimension of the prophetic psalmistry. Songs you did not write, coming from heaven. I stretch my hands. Lord, where are they? Inside and outside. Songs that become ladders for the end time. Ladders into the throne room. Ladders for encounters. I declare, may that grace, may that mantle rest upon you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, psalmistry by the Spirit, the Davidic order of worship, take that grace now, in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not wasting your time. You came to church. Just pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Undivided spiritual attention. This is for kingdom come. This is for my destiny. This is for all connected to this grace. Kela paka rekatos koto prande kada lekata. Shkebe rekate baka ta pros koto koto baka ta lekata. Shime kate lekas koto brondo koto badiata. Number two, I want to pray. There are spirits that stand at the gates of new seasons and don't allow people cross. I tell you this, there are spirits that stand at the corridors of your next season. Financial seasons, spiritual seasons, Kairos moments. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to uproot these devils out of your way. It says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in your ways. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. I decree and declare, every covenant and any ordinance of darkness stopping men from stepping into their seasons, I come by fire. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare those altars are destroyed now. Destroyed now. Destroyed now. Destroyed now. Destroyed now. Help them, please. Every spiritual pattern that wants you to repeat what happened to your father, repeat what happened to your mother, tying you to the experiences of your territory, I come by the rod of the higher priesthood. I decree and declare, be delivered now. Be delivered now. Be liberated now.
My head is exalted like the horn of a unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of a unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of a unicorn. I am anointed with fresh oil.
The mighty power of God. New seasons. New seasons. New seasons. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. This is a prophetic word for someone. This is a prophetic word for a family. You came to church to hear this word. The Lord is saying, remember not the former things. Stop giving explanations. Forget the former things. That which is coming will be a worthy compensation. That which is coming will be a worthy compensation. Stop regretting yesterday. There are greater plans in your tomorrow. Plans that outweigh that which you have seen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the Bible says, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Just allow yourself in a minute or two to just soak in this glory. Sometimes we are too distracted, and when God shows up like this, we waste those opportunities. Do not make the mistake of Jacob.
In the glory I will stand. I will stand and lift my hands. It's in your glory I'll receive every miracle you have for me. It's in your glory we will stand. We will stand and lift our hands.
Ah.
In the glory we'll receive every miracle you have for us.
Lord, we believe you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this hour of visitation. You have come, like you always do, to change us, to lift us, to impart upon us unusual graces. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Martha, Martha, you are worried and obsessed about many things. You are even offended, but one thing is needful, that Mary has chosen to sit at the Master's feet. We trust you, we love you, we honor you, we believe in you. This is why we are here.
Every miracle you have for us, but thou, O Lord, had a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But thou, O Lord, a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But thou, O Lord, had a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But thou, O Lord, a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head.
Father, forever we declare that you remain mighty in our midst. This house will remain a conducive atmosphere for your presence, for your power. We decree and declare that we will continue to love you, continue to serve you, to stand in partnership with your spirit as you build, as you make, as you restore, as you transform, as you empower. Indeed, we are changed. We are changed. We are changed. We are changed.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. You're mighty in battle. We call you this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Tonight, move upon us. Move upon us. Oh, we say amen, amen, amen. Let it be so. Let it be done in this earth as it was and as it is in the heavens. Amen to my lifting. Amen to my restoration. Amen to my rising. Amen to the multiplication of grace. As a family, we declare, amen, amen. We are believers of your word. Let it be, O God. Blessed is she that believes.
For unto her there shall be a performance.
You see, beloved people of God, one of the things that you are learning every time you come, you are learning the ways of the Spirit. We are a people who love God. We are a people who are excellent and organized, but you must realize that the secret to what you have seen and you experience every time is our flexibility. When the Holy Spirit comes, He does not come here as a tenant. He comes here as the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We are only active participants. We follow as He leads. For if He does not lead, we have nothing to do. Moses said, "Do not let us depart from here if your presence will not go with us." You can fake power, but you cannot fake presence. No. A native doctor can give you power, but he cannot give you presence. That presence factor is the distinguishing factor. Moses said, "How shall they know that we're a people separate?" And he said, "I will go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will bring you into your Sabbath. I will give you rest." Glorify your Son tonight, O God. Glorify the saints that will bring you glory to our lives. In Jesus' name. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. It is important to seek the Lord. Every time we set ourselves to seek the Lord, to know Him more, to fellowship, to grow, to encounter Him, we must realize that we are not wasting our time at all. It pays not only to serve Jesus, but it pays to know Him and it pays to seek Him. Hallelujah. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Let's start our reading from verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 12. Can we read it together in concert? We're reading 12 and we're reading 13. Ready? One to read. "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." Next verse. "That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman." The result? Next verse. "And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets." It says, "For they have sworn with their heart." We're still reading. "And sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." They entered a covenant that, "As for me and my house, I will not only serve the Lord, I will seek the Lord." And the Bible says they were found of Him, and the Lord gave them rest round about. The Lord gave them rest round about. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. The Lord can give rest round about. It may not look like it, but I tell you, God can give rest. Abraham was old, the Bible says, and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. In all things. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. While you are seated, I'd like you to pray one prayer. "Father, every other area of my life that is yet to experience your power and your glory,
I bring it before your presence tonight. Lift your voice and pray in 1 minute.
Are you praying?
Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. It doth not yet appear what we shall be like. It doth not yet appear what we shall be like. There is a making that is happening to you. There is transformation that is happening to you. You are evolving into a version of you that is superior in power, superior in grace, superior in wisdom. I want you to believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have been discussing and sharing truths the last few weeks, and I did tell us that the Lord gave me an instruction to teach along the graces that He has so mercifully brought to my life and even to this ministry, to the end that we understand the dimensions of God that operate within this house as a family of faith, and then to enhance our spiritual growth. And we have been considering all of these dimensions of the investment of the Spirit. We started with the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, that this is a dimension that God intends that the saints walk in. You can walk in the wisdom of God. Number two, we considered favor, that there is a possibility that a believer can walk in the favor of God as a grace, not just a one-off event. If it happens only once, it is breakthrough, not favor. If it is favor, it must be consistent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll have a very brief session tonight because I want us to pray. But what I want to share with you tonight is a very deep kingdom secret. And many times I struggle to share these things, not because I do not want the saints to know or to learn them, for we have only received them by mercy ourselves. But it is profitless, and it may even be destructive, to bring a dimension of kingdom truth to believers when there is no preparedness in their hearts to place value on it and to receive it. Every one of these dimensions that we continue to unveil by the Spirit, these dimensions are the makers of men. Any man who has been made by God was made by the coordinated, by the synergy of these forces. Hallelujah. And tonight I want to share with you a very deep mystery. And it is my prayer that the Lord would, by this mystery, launch us into very superior dimensions. Hallelujah. I do not know how far I will go. I do not know to what extent we'll stretch tonight. But wherever we're able to stop, everything I'm teaching, we will teach it again. You see, the thing about mentorship is you never communicate a spiritual truth once. The goal is not newness. The goal is freshness. You have to continually repeat these truths again and again. It says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, although ye know them and are established in this present truth. Hallelujah. And so tonight I'm teaching on the mystery of supernatural encounters. I will share with you a secret tonight that has been responsible for divine encounters. And it is my prayer that you will appreciate this truth you are about to receive. It will marvelously transform your spiritual life. It will marvelously transform your destiny. Hallelujah. Job chapter 42 and verse 5. Job left us a very important key that begins our guide. It serves as a guide for us tonight, even as we begin to explore the subject of supernatural encounters. Many believers have for a very long time, they have been frustrated in their Christian experience because their spiritual life looks like borrowed ideas. They hardly have convictions of their own. And so you find out that the average believer has to depend on the confidence of a pastor, depend on the confidence of an apostle, a prophet, or the confidence of a corporate people to be able to believe certain things about God. But God did not design us in this kingdom to have to depend on the conviction of another to begin our journey. It was his intent, his desire, that we get to a point where we become a people of persuasion and a people of conviction ourselves. Hallelujah. Job chapter 42. And verse 5, the mystery of supernatural encounters. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. When I began my journey with God, there were many propositions that were brought forth from the pulpit. Well-meaning, well-intentioned men and women of God, I heard them say many things about God, referenced from Scripture. They called God many names. They advocated many levels and dimensions of possibilities that God could birth in the life and the experience of a believer. But I didn't seem to see a manifestation of these things, and it troubled me for a long time. It looked like God remained a theoretical reality, that men would not be able to step into that experience. My heart yearned for a level of nearness that I did not easily see around me. Preachers seemed very distant from the God they were talking about. Conferences were written, or conferences were organized, books were written about a God that they seemed very far from. And I knew that something was wrong. Not necessarily with the communicators, but with the whole idea. I found out that there were many people who believed certain spiritual truths, not because it had become true in their lives. They believed them because they liked the communicators of those truths. So their faith in the truths that were communicated were not because they believed that those speakings were true. They believed that those who said them were sincere people, well-meaning people, or lovable people. But one thing I can tell you is that for as long as you live long enough upon this earth, your convictions will be tested from head to toe. And so it matters that the things that you hold there, the things that you hold as true, are true indeed. The Bible gives us a word of caution that you must be careful so that what you call light be not darkness. Did you know you can walk in a lie for many years? You can teach a lie. You can mentor people along the lines of a lie. And then at the end of your life, or when you have gone so far, you will now realize that what you have been holding as true was a lie. It is dangerous to believe a lie and hold it there and continue to build your destiny around that lie, only for you to find out that what you believed was not true. If I have any fear in my life or any concern in my life, it is that I do not want to believe something that after many years, I will find out that I've believed a lie. And so I'm not ashamed to vet what I hold as true. I am unashamed. I will vet them unapologetically. And if for any reason I find out that what I am holding is not the truth, I would declare my disloyalty immediately and without turning back. Many believers are unable to be transformed because of our emotional attachment to information that may have been embedded in our minds that may not be the truth. The Bible says the only thing that saves is the truth, not what you like. Ye shall know the truth. And it is the truth that sustains the power to make you free. Are we blessed? The Bible is full of encounters. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture lets us see that most of the people, almost everyone who was mightily used by God, as recorded in Scripture, at one point or the other in their lives, they encountered the God of the Bible in ways that were spectacular, in ways that burned that conviction in their hearts, and some of them died believing their experiences. Some of them, based on that experience, they rose to be mighty men and women who were used by God. And it is important for us to study this subject of encounters, because we are gathered today by the privilege of God's grace. And this ministry you see is a product of encounters. And it's important for us to know. Because if you lack encounters, you will be surprised how stunted, how limited you will be in your Christian walk. Are we together? What are encounters? Let's discuss the subject of supernatural encounters very briefly and very quickly. Supernatural encounters are experiences that bring reality and conviction to us. Experiences that bring reality, and they also bring conviction to us. Experiences sent by God to bring reality, the awareness of a reality, and to also bring conviction. This is very powerful. The way God designed man, in a way that every time you are convicted and persuaded about a truth, you stop being ashamed or afraid of it. Now, the way we operate in the earth realm, anything you are ashamed to advocate, it is because there is no conviction in that area. This is how God designed us. Are we together now? So when you meet a herbalist, as tattered and as uninviting as he looks, he is not ashamed of his state, because there is a depth of conviction and persuasion. He believes in what he's doing. He believes in its ability to transform anyone who is interested. And so he would sit down in a dark, dirty, or smelly place, whatever it is. He would conjure all kinds of rubbish. And then he would tell you with certainty that this is able to bless your life, this is able to transform you, this is able to bring supernatural solutions, and he will dare you. Encounters. They are experiences, supernatural experiences that bring conviction, that establish or furnish the reality of God or the reality of anything whatsoever in the life of the believer. Please pay attention. Why are encounters important? Encounters are important because our walk upon this earth requires conviction, requires faith. Our earth walk requires faith, and faith is based on convictions.
convictions are based on encounters. There has to be, listen carefully, there has to be, if you are going to walk effectively, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Four times in scripture, it says the just shall live by his faith. And faith is predicated upon encounters. I am holding a mic on my hand. There is nothing you will say or do to convince me otherwise, because my senses are relating with this reality. Are we together now? I'm holding a mic. Your opinion may not have an effect on me because I am surrounded by the awareness of this reality. It is lack of encounters that has produced the spiritual vacillations that we have in the body of Christ today. And so today I believe this. Tomorrow I believe this. Next tomorrow I do not believe what I used to believe again. And then by next week I rush back and I think I now believe it. All of these vacillations are proof that there is no certainty to the truths that we claim to know. I'm not just talking of growth. Many believers today cannot exactly tell you. They cannot make an articulate statement of the things that they believe. Today they believe God delivers, and by tomorrow they say, I'm not sure that I understand deliverance again. And then next week they say, okay, I'm healed. Another time they say, no, I'm not going to tell lies, I am sick. Are we together now? One moment they believe in confessing the word, they are speaking the word. Another moment they say, leave that thing, it's not just about confession. So you see that the vacillations in our Christian experience, they are proof to us that we are missing something. There is something we do not understand about God and the way he works. The second reason why we need encounters is that the challenges that will surround your destiny and your assignment will require encounters to supply the staying power. The power for continuity as far as your destiny is concerned will depend on encounters. I can tell you this for free. There is nobody's journey to destiny that will be entirely a bed of roses. You are going to be confronted by issues, vicissitudes of life, men and systems and structures will stand to oppose that which God intends to do in your life. It will take encounters to supply the staying power. There are preachers who begin ministry, for instance, and they say, I love God, I was called to serve God, and after 2 years of no results, no success, they pack it up and they say, I'm tired, let me just go and look for a job. There are people today who resign their jobs because they thought they were called into ministry. And after 10 years, they look back and say, oh, God punished the man who advised me to leave my job and get into this vineyard. I cheated myself. I wasted my time. No encounters. Encounters provide the staying power. If you want to continue and finish strong, you will depend on encounters more than information. When you see some of our fathers of faith, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, some 50 years, continuing in the ministry, serving the purposes of God, I assure you, an ambition does not have that kind of power to keep you long. You will need encounters. Are we together now? Yes, sir. When you lack encounters, anything that captures your attention for the moment will drive your life until you find another thing that seems to be valuable to you. So you have all kinds of people today, they are in business, next tomorrow they are here, next tomorrow they are here, they continue to rigmarole around life. No reality, no conviction, no staying power. I think it was last week or the week before last that I was whilst teaching, I mentioned something that I should mention again. There are many people today who were very, very serious with God, loving Jesus passionately, pursuing the purposes of God. Their entire lives revolved around the kingdom. But today, some of them in old age, they are barely born again. And if you ask them, they will tell you, I tried God. I gave my best. I committed everything. God failed me. This your Christianity thing does not work. Have you found out the reasons why people leave God and the things of God? You will be amazed. Some because of money. Someone offered some money and they will dump the faith life without thinking twice. Others because of marriage. They find someone who is blessed, and even if they are not of similar faith, they just leave everything. These are people who will sing all kinds of songs about their love for God. People have left God in a heartbeat because they were looking for jobs. People left ministry because they got visa. They told everybody they had set up their leadership. They set up protocol. As soon as a door opened, they said, just continue serving God. I will serve him from afar. Off I go. And God said, this is how much you love me. I'm teaching you this, otherwise you will be disappointed at your own life when you see the way you will forget about God in the presence of certain realities. It is encounters that can keep us, regardless how you rise, regardless the lifting that comes to your life, and regardless the challenges that surround you, you are still standing. Many believers are falling by the wayside, especially within this end time. You see lots of believers after 10 years, 20 years of serving the Lord, respectfully speaking, they now come up to say, look, I've been living a lie. I don't care about this thing again. I'm not serious with God. I quit. No encounters. From altar call to spiritual growth, most believers are not serious with God because they have not found God to be anything to be serious about. Are we following now?
Yes.
There are many young people who are only serving God because they are under the custody of their parents and they do not have an option otherwise. It's not because they love that God. Let's do Bible study, and they grudgingly sit down and do it. And then for many parents, the day you now leave them to themselves, you will be marvelously surprised that the person you have been calling pastor was never interested in anything about God. Other people hold on to God because they are in school and they want to do well. They are hoping he would just escort them until they are done. And once they are done, they say, God, I've used you enough. You find your way and go while I live my life. Are we together now? There are others who do this business of God because they have been taught that God can bless. And when you are in ministry, you can get honorarium. When you are in ministry, you can get all kinds of things. Someone can come and dash you a car. Somebody can give you a house. And when they try, they apply for jobs, it doesn't work, they apply for whatever, they just come and then they start ministry and a semblance of passion. And then after 1 year, they realize they have to rent an auditorium. They realize that there are things that are coming, they count the offering and it's nothing to write home about. And they say, God, I've tried for you. I gave you 1 year of my life. I'm not ready to continue being a fool like this because we do not have encounters. A time came when the disciples of Jesus became very frustrated. Listen, when Jesus began his journey with them, I remember Jesus telling them all kinds of things, and they ran, they left their fishing. A time came, Peter was waiting for Jesus to come, and he said, look, we have left all to follow you. If you are deceiving us, tell us now so that we can redeem the time and get back to what we are doing. And Jesus looked at them. They were offended. They were frustrated. The staying power to finish strong was not there. As soon as they captured Jesus and they thought that this superstar would just defeat everyone, just shake his hand and everyone would be under the anointing, when Jesus gave himself, watch what happened. The Bible says they ran away. Is it in your Bible? Every one of them. Remember, shortly before that time, Peter vowed. Jesus even pleaded with Peter, let me wash your feet. He said, no way, not you. Now Peter ran away. The fathers of faith and the patriarchs that we celebrate today, world over, were not just people who were interested in serving God alone. These were men and women who had solid encounters. They had encounters with God. Encounters that would never, they were not going to change from it. Most of my experiences and the new seasons in my life have come as a result of encounters. Most of them have come as a result of encounters. Now, let me tell you this. There are negative, demonic, and satanic encounters. Pay attention. I must tell you this. For instance, there are many people today in deception, and the confidence that deception thrives on is the encounters that they had. There are many people who believe they went to heaven. I tell you, by the authority of scripture, where they went was not heaven. I can tell you this. Both the description, the experience, and the result tells you it's not heaven they went to. There are people today who claim they had out-of-body experiences, and many of them interacted with strange spirits, familiar spirits. They thought it was the Holy Spirit. Do you know that almost every error in the body of Christ today came as a result of these same encounters? Many people will tell you, I had an encounter either with an angel or a spirit, and he told me right. And from there, they begin to ship in and advocate all kinds of error. People have gone to fast for days and they met a spirit. Because you see, I'll be sharing with you that one of the principal triggers for encounter is hunger. Hunger. When you find a believer who is hungry, please be fast to guide that person. Because Satan too looks for hunger. Hunger is proof of health. When people are sick, the first thing they lose is appetite. So you want to start on a journey. I want to know you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to love you with all my heart. That drives you to a 7 days drive, prayer and fasting. And you are praying, you are lying down, you are rolling left, right, and center. And Satan finds an opportunity. Your organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit are heightened because of that kind of consecration. And Satan comes as an angel of light and plants all kinds of demonic and dangerous seeds. I will tell you why I'm teaching what I'm teaching tonight. It's very important. Encounters are powerful. Encounters are important. But if I do not give you a few guidelines, because I fear for my generation, our appetite for Rema, our appetite for new dimensions, our appetite for the angelic realm, our appetite for the prophetic realm is driving us into dimensions that, if not guided, you have not yet seen error that will come to the body. I tell you, in the next 5, 6, 10 years, if we do not create this apostolic guidance for the body of Christ, many young people will delve into different versions of error. You will not even know what is authentic Christianity again. Are we together? Years ago in Zaria, I remember, I think I've shared it here. I don't know if I've shared it here. There were some gentlemen who came in, I think from Kano or so. One gentleman just came believing he was Jesus. Not a servant of Jesus. Believing he was Jesus. And based on their revelation, they believed that I was like their John the Baptist. So they came. And together with the boys, jokes apart, I really mean it. I won't stand here if I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. After service, this boy stood, wore a regalia. And then someone was standing by his side. I don't know what they call that one now. And then when they stood before me, I thought they were cracking jokes with me. I was even laughing, even though I was tired, until I found out they were not playing. Now, do you know, listen. Do you know those boys started with prayer? Prayer does many things, so you have to understand the side effects of being open to the realm of the spirit. And I will teach you how to create that guidance.
Encounters.
I've started by appreciating encounters. But I am telling you, there is a management system that must be introduced fast, because the body of Christ is in trouble. And it's encounters that will lead to the error of this generation of believers. Encounters. Satan has programmed arsenals of error that will be shipped to the body of Christ through encounters. Pseudo-Christian experiences. Pseudo-angelic experiences, pseudo-heavenly experiences, and they bring all kinds of destructive doctrines with full assurance. There are people today who hear voices. They stepped into the prophetic and the Holy Ghost has never been part of any revelation. Most of those revelations come from demons. Do they hear well? Yes, sir, they hear. Now, I'm not being, listen, when you are here, don't just be listening and thinking of any man of God. I'm teaching the body of Christ. Because most of the people, you see, when you hear this, some of us already have preconceived biases. And the bias is because we've never really been serious with God. It's not because we are passionate. We've not been serious with God. So anything that looks supernatural, we fight it. I'm not endorsing your laxity. There are all kinds of errors. Those errors continue to be translated into teachings. You see, the thing about encounters is that every time you have an encounter, the urge to document it and to share it is there. And we live in a generation right now that is passionate with giving applause. Anything that is scarce, anything that is new, anything that looks like rhema, it looks like you derive your respect in the body of Christ from the scarceness of your communication. If we are not careful, there will be bitter casualties. I tell you this by the Spirit. Many people are beginning to ship doctrines of demons and communicate them, and many people keep swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Satan is doing this because he knows that the spirit of revelation, we're coming there. When I teach you this, you will know why we need the spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. There was a man of God many years ago. I didn't have a direct relationship with him, but we were so blessed by his teachings. He was an amazing man. He taught well. He taught powerfully. His teachings were powerful. He was somewhere around Asia. Eventually, when I started studying his teachings after some time, he started having all kinds of strange encounters. And one day I had to say, something is wrong. This guy began to teach all kinds of concepts. He began to manifest attributes that I knew there were problems with. Today, as I talk to you, I'm not even sure he's in ministry again. Powerful man of God, sincerely so. I don't know what happened because of this search for encounters. Let me construct what I'm saying so you'll understand. Number one, encounters are important. We need encounters so that they create convictions. But number two, encounters are a two-edged sword. On one hand, they can bless and lift. But on another hand, they can bring conviction towards error that destroys. Are we together? So people have delved into all sorts of things. Young believers especially have delved into all kinds of things. There are people who have bought all sorts of books. You get into a Christian library right now and you look at the books that are there. Sometimes you want to run away because you see certain books. The moment you open, you wonder, was it the Holy Spirit who inspired this? There are dangerous and devilish books. There are people who have read certain books, and while they were reading, the next thing they woke up and found out they had been lost. They went into realms and dimensions, interacted with strange spirits, and came. Do you know how many religions are in the world? We live in an internet age. I give you as an assignment. When you go type religions, how many religions are in the world? Enter. You will be amazed. Let me tell you this. Every single one of those religions have followers. If they did not have followers,
they would not thrive enough to be seen as a religion. And those followers came because of a semblance of results that came from encounters. This is the secret that can preserve a destiny, can preserve a ministry, so that you don't start something and after 10 years, you are teaching something else and at a point you don't even understand what you are doing again. Supernatural encounters. Now, let me explain something. Why do encounters have negative side effects also? I will tell you why. Because you see, encounters, especially if they are supernatural visionary encounters. Now, you have to understand that an encounter does not have to be visionary to be called an encounter. You can have an encounter without a vision. Once it is supernatural and it can imprint reality and conviction, it's called an encounter. Are we together now? But now I'm talking about visionary encounters. Do you know, if you are open to the realm of the spirit, there are many things that begin to happen to you immediately. You are open to the realm of the spirit. Number one, you find out that being open to the realm of the spirit, either by the Holy Ghost or any other spirit, already gives you an advantage over the earth realm. Whether it is through divination or it is through genuine spiritual encounter with the Holy Spirit. The moment you are open to the realm of the Spirit, you already have an advantage above the ordinary believer. Number two, the modus operandi of the earth realm is not the same as the realm of the Spirit. For instance, in the realm of the Spirit, I do not have to talk to you to know what I am saying. I can transfer my thoughts directly to you without speaking. If I hold these plants in the realm of the spirit, I don't have to study it biologically. You see that now? Yes, I can transfer the feeling of that plant and have the impulse of that understanding. You have to understand how. I'm giving you certain examples. In the realm of the spirit, time and distance does not operate the way it works here. If I need to move from here to this fan, I will have to walk. But in the realm of the spirit, I can be here and immediately leave this spot and I am there. An example, what happens to you when you are in a dream? You can be in a dream and in one moment you are in a house and then the scene changes, you are somewhere else. The same you. And yet you are still there lying down in your room. Are we together now? Now, in the realm of the spirit, the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, the Holy Spirit is not the only one who has information. Any spirit at all, including the devil, has some information that is higher than this earth realm. Are we together now? You would learn that there were times the Bible records how that these fallen angels came, and the Bible says they had interactions with the daughters of men. They did not just come and meet them and produce giants out of them. There were things that they taught them. There were certain forbidden knowledge that was given to them. Satan himself is not an ignorant spirit. I hope you know that. Because Satan was once in heaven. Number two, it was not Satan alone that fell in heaven. He fell with other spirits. And there is no record of eroding the memory of the things that they know. They still have that knowledge. Many people have interacted with strange spirits, entered into all kinds of fraternities and covenants with them in exchange to superior knowledge. They have used it in IT. They have used it to advance technology. They have used it in different forms and in different fashions. And some of them are honest enough to tell you that it was not just the making of themselves. They were assisted by the realm of the spirit. So when you are open to the realm of the spirit, you will encounter many things. Can I tell you this? If you do not know the road to go to a place and you find me there, I can lead you anywhere and tell you that's where you were to go to. This is what is happening to many people. So they are open to the realm of the spirit because of the energy that is exerted through fasting and prayer, spiritual exercises. The moment you do that, it is easy to have that ascendance in the spirit. But the challenge is when you are there now, Satan is more than happy to hold your hand and usher you. And he will give you a thought that is not consistent with the character of Christ.
We return with some of these experiences, and because we do not have a system of verification, this is also the reason why there is a lot of inaccuracy even in the prophetic. Because the prophetic works by the same formula. You are open to the realm of the spirit and you capture speakings, sights and sounds from the realm of the spirit. But when there is no system to order and organize it, based on scripture, you can download all kinds of things. That's why some work, some don't work, because they are a capture of mass information from the realm of the spirit. What I'm teaching you may look a bit complicated, but just pay attention. You will understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I have had several visionary encounters. By the grace of God, this is a realm of reality that I live in. And I can tell you, if the Lord did not teach me the system of guidance that I want to provide for you, I probably would have been in all shades of error by now. All shades of error. The next thing I need to teach you about the realm of the spirit is that the realm of the spirit operates with similitudes. And you must understand not the activity, but the spirit, the meaning of those activities. Because one of the reasons why error has come into the body of Christ is because most times we want to repeat exactly what we saw happen in the realm of the spirit. So I give you an instance. If in the realm of the spirit, I look at these people in the realm of the spirit and I see them maybe dancing or doing some kind of thing, I may not stay to decipher the essence of what was happening. I will come down and want to act out the same thing I saw. So if I see someone walking five times from the realm of the spirit, it may be a prophetic typology of something, but then I come physically and I now say, well, based on what I saw, except if God says to act it out, but I now tell the person, do what you saw, and by the time that person leaves and gets results, someone else will come, and before you know it, it will become a spiritual pattern. Are we together now? Yes. Someone will now go to his house and say, for me to get a miracle, I must walk around five times with no understanding. When God began to open me up to encounters, I became troubled myself. Once upon a time, those days in Zaria, there was such a move of the spirit, and people started having extraordinary encounters where they would have what you know to be gold dust, silver dust. Physically, gold dust would begin to appear, and there is an encounter that happened like that one time in church history. It began to happen in several places, and people started idolizing those encounters. It didn't last more than 3 weeks, and God seized it till tomorrow. It was an act of his mercy. Otherwise, some people would have built monuments around it. You see that now? There is a serious disclaimer. Listen, do you know why I'm teaching you this? Don't just get believers born again and start stretching them fast 21 days, fast 30 days, unguided and unassisted. It looks like an accurate spiritual journey, but you are about to lead the people into experiences that their maturity cannot handle. They will interact with devilish spirits. They will return with arrogance from that encounter until the fatality that happens in their future brings you to remorse. You now regret the fact that you exposed the people this way. We have to be careful. There is a pattern for spiritual growth. And if we do not submit ourselves to it, we will be in trouble. When Jesus Christ began to walk with the disciples, we must follow the order and the pattern that he used to build the saints. Are we together now? Supernatural encounters. The realm of the spirit is a very vast realm, full of all kinds of possibilities. Having said this, the Bible itself, listen carefully, the Bible provides a roadmap into profitable spiritual encounters. The Bible, scripture, provides a roadmap into profitable spiritual encounters. That means that it is possible for you to enjoy supernatural encounters, benefit from them, and yet not bring error out of them to deceive the body. Remember, the morale of this teaching is to help us experience encounters. One of the graces that we have enjoyed and we enjoy in this ministry is the grace for encounters. But I will tell you why it has been effective without birthing all versions of error. Almost all encounters, if left unbalanced, will bring error. Almost all encounters, if left unbalanced, or how do I put it now? Is it unbalanced? Will bring all kinds of error. The body of Christ today is like a patient in ICU, and encounters have brought these kinds of imbalance. There are men and women of God today who will die believing what they are doing because it came from encounters. There are individuals today who will die believing what they are doing because it came from encounters. And you see, one thing about conviction is conviction will always lead to influence. The moment you are convicted about something, eventually someone will believe you. I hope you're understanding what I'm teaching so far. Yes. So the Bible provides a biblical roadmap to supernatural encounters. This was the first thing the Lord began to teach me. That before I am open to these extraordinary spiritual experiences, I must understand the pattern of Scripture so that all of these encounters I have will pass through the sieve of the Word, the sieve of how God behaves. Let me tell you, there are many encounters in my life that Scripture has filtered. You will never hear me share them. I have met many, many demon spirits. But it may just be one or two occasions that you hear me say that. Because you see, when you are teaching, this is the reason why most times I do not like to talk about my encounters. Do you know why? I do not want you to build your conviction based on those encounters alone. I want you to build your conviction based on these foundational encounters that I want to show you. The average believer today who is exposed to the apostolic and prophetic ministry, for instance, will feel bad, feel insulted, and even feel unspiritual if they are not seeing visions. It's almost like a stigma to your spiritual experience. How long have you been born again? 10 years. Do you see? Do you hear? Well, not exactly. I hear the Holy Ghost sometimes. Well, I say, my goodness, my God. That means something is wrong with your Christian experience. So in a bid to honor what you call your pursuit for spiritual growth, there is such an itch and an appetite for any extra, anything that just let me hear a sound. Let me see a being, demonic or spiritual. Let me just see something and hear something. And because of that hunger, on one hand, God intends to give you these encounters. But the reason why for many of us, God does not bring those encounters is because you have not been taught how to decipher encounters to profit from them. It's not because your spiritual level has not reached there. God just wants to help you. His withdrawing these encounters is an act of mercy to help you stay true to doctrine. Are we blessed? This is how the Lord taught me. The apostolic and the prophetic ministry will expose you to various encounters. You will not believe how many things I've seen standing here and preaching. If I did not have this understanding that I'm teaching you, you will never almost be able to settle down and teach a correct sermon. Every sermon will be turned to revelation, because as for sight, you will keep seeing. The discipline to be able to turn down these things and focus on doctrine to mentor believers. Many sincere people do not have that. Every time their eyes see something, there is an urge to say what they are seeing. And it becomes a distraction to mentoring believers. So you see that services become full of just revelatory processes, not revelation of Scripture. Prophetic revelations, and there is a place for that, don't get me wrong, except that after a while you see that believers don't mature again, and then the body of Christ also has been baited into that state of that spiritual state. When you come and sit down and the truth is being taught,
that interest to endure doctrine is not there again. Apostle, this is 30 minutes. You've not seen anything. So pastors and ministers are under pressure. If you want membership, be ready to see something or say something. I don't care what you know. If you are not seeing and you are not saying anything, be ready for empty pews. We must balance this. Remember that I love the body of Christ. And remember that everything I say is to the intent that we become matured. Are we together now? The average man of God is under severe pressure right now. Pressure for the prophetic, pressure to be able to reveal something. If you go to pray with someone and you bring Bible verses and you tell the person, Acts chapter this, verse this says this, you can even see the disconnect. We wasted our time, prepared honorarium, cooked food to come and receive this rubbish. There, you see that there is something wrong. While you are laughing, I want you to pay attention. You may not see the effect now. Let it continue down the line. That's why people lie, even with the prophetic, because there has to be a way. That pressure makes people lie. We say things God is not saying. Body of Christ, hear me. This is not just a message for Koinonia. This is a message for the body of Christ. When a man of God can teach scripture and help you understand the ways of God, he's under pressure because he looks like a fatal failure as far as ministry is concerned. I don't know what happened to your eyes and your ears, but we're not interested. And very clearly the person becomes frustrated. And as a result, he will say, you know what? If this is the formula for relevance, let me go for my fasting. And the devil says, exactly, this is what I wanted. He waits for you, and once you are done with your fasting and all of that, he now shows up and begins to introduce you into all kinds of things. You find out that the more you see, the more you are deviating from God's patterns. Many people did not start the way they are now. Let me tell you, I submit to you, it's difficult to live in the realm of encounters and still be sound and detailed. This is what I want to teach you now. There is a roadmap that if you follow, you will never mislead the body through encounters. Your encounters will profit you and then profit the body. If you are operating in the prophetic here, please listen to me. Because this particularly will help you. Are we blessed? So the Bible lets us know that encounters are very important. They create conviction. Whether encounters just with the word as you're studying, or visionary encounters. When God was giving me a revelation about this ministry, I had supernatural encounters. I've shared some of them with you. My life is full of all kinds of encounters at different junctions of my life. You would hear fathers like Bishop David Oyedepo share their encounters. They would tell you he was in an 18-hour vision. Is that true? And he saw this and that and explained it. Several other men of God will tell you there are others who were led by angels into realms and they were taught certain dimensions of the healing ministry. There are people who had all kinds of encounters. Some of them have profited the body of Christ today. Now, let me begin to teach you how to balance encounters. Rule number one, no encounter is equal to doctrine. No encounter, no visionary encounter automatically becomes a doctrine. Do not make doctrine out of encounters. Do not make doctrine out of encounters. Doctrines, listen, encounters are, they are classified in a category of dealings called personalized dealings. Personalized dealings means that it's God's way of working with you to help you to be effective. It will profit the body of Christ, but do not turn encounters into doctrines. So, If let me just leave that issue so that we don't create trouble in the body of Christ. But it's very important for you to know this. Rule number one, do not suddenly turn an encounter into a doctrine. The doctrines of Scripture are already stated. It is true. Listen carefully. There is a reason why these doctrines were put here in Scripture. And if we violate them, do you know what will happen? We will start creating pseudo-Christian experiences that are not exactly God. Rule number one, do not create doctrines out of encounters. Number two, every encounter must submit to Scripture. Every encounter, you must vet your encounters from the lens of Scripture. Every encounter, no matter, even if it's Jesus you see, any encounter must submit to Scripture. No matter how extraordinary that encounter is. Number three, you interpret encounters. Listen carefully. Or let me put it this way. Scripture becomes your lens for interpreting encounters. Do not interpret encounters with feelings. You must go to Scripture. For instance, two of us can have a vision. I can see a chain in the spirit. You can see a chain too. It means different things to both of us. We cannot create, I'm saying this with every sense of respect and responsibility to the body of Christ. There are people who God has helped to bless the body in whatever capacity, and we honor them. But there is a big mistake. Do not say every time you see chains, it means bondage. It is not true. You have to go to the Bible to get your explanation, not your mind. A chain does not always mean bondage. Nakedness does not always mean shame. So by the time I put all these things, if you see a chain, bondage. If you see nakedness, shame. Nakedness can mean intimacy. It can mean you are growing with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit and Scripture has to interpret that. Are we together now? Most people just come up with their ideas about encounters. This is what I saw. This is what I saw. I think this should be it. And we ship it down and mislead people. That includes dreams. Look up, please. When you wake up from a dream, you don't just go and buy a book to interpret it, except if that book submits to Scripture. Are we together now? Many belief systems that have authorized Satan to destroy us today came from these dreams and encounters. Take note of these rules. One, remember that no encounter in itself becomes a doctrine. No. The doctrine of Scripture is written. Do you know the thing about doctrines? Doctrines should be taught and explained, not created. The doctrines that make for the maturity of the believer is already there. You have to understand this. Every other thing supports our growth. It does not create the basis for it. The Bible, listen carefully, the Bible has already set the manual for the growth of the believer. There's no need to invent another route for spiritual growth. Jesus, the early church, the patriarchs have set enough precedents. There is no level of spiritual growth you want to attain unto that Scripture has not provided the roadmap for. So doctrines must submit to Scripture. And your interpretation must come from Scripture, not your ideas. Scripture. Hallelujah. Your interpretation must come from Scripture. Now, listen very carefully. The Holy Ghost, when he began to teach me about encounters, he taught me four cardinal encounters. Listen carefully. Don't assume you understand what I'm saying. There are four foundational encounters. And the Holy Spirit taught me that these are the major encounters every believer must have. If you do not have these four encounters, no matter which other encounter you have, there will be trouble. I'm going to run through them because of time. Why am I teaching you this? So that when you begin to have extraordinary encounters, because you see, soaking yourself in this glory is exposing you to the realm of the spirit, and you must be guided by scripture, so that we do not have all kinds of error that come, and then you connect the error to koinonia. You say, it was when I came for koinonia, I fell under the anointing, and I was in the realm of the spirit. This is what I saw. This is how I came. And you see, the way the devil does it is, he will take advantage of this atmosphere to mislead you. When you now tell someone it was in koinonia that thing started, he will usually believe you and respect you. But up you go into the realm of error. Are you blessed? I have kept these four encounters, and I pay attention to them my entire life. These are the encounters that have become pillars that guide me as I approach the realm of the spirit. And I'm introducing you to this, and this is also a message to the body of Christ. These encounters that I'm about to list, and maybe briefly just touch, they supersede any other encounter. Listen, if these are the only encounters you have in your life, and you never have any vision again in your life, you will still fulfill your God-given mandate. The foundational encounters that every child of God or everyone on earth should have. Are you ready for this? Have you understood everything I've said so far? Yes. I want you to appreciate these things that we teach, because number one, they are consistent with scripture, but number two, some of these trainings came from a standpoint of pain, blood, and tears. I'm praying that you will place value on them. Some of you, what I'm saying, you may not need it now until you keep rising. One day you will see and thank the Lord that you got this doctrinal balance, even as you approach the realm of the spirit. Some of you, as I share this with you, the Lord will use it to give you hope and give you confidence as far as your Christian experience is concerned. Four encounters the Lord taught me. Number one, the first encounter that every believer must have is encounter with Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Please write it down. It does not mean a visionary picture of Jesus. You can have an encounter through scripture, an encounter through the word of salvation with Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Please write it down. Just be patient and write it down. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son." He says that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you this? No matter how many visions you see in your life, if you do not have an encounter with Jesus, the Son of the Living God, you are going to hell. It's as simple as that. Encounters don't redeem people. It is Jesus that redeems people. Encounters don't give people eternal life. It is the Son of the Living God. So if you have 30 encounters in your life and Jesus is not part of them, you are on your way to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. These are safety nets. An encounter with the Son of the Living God. The first encounter that the hunger of any living being would push him to, in that order, is an encounter with the Son of the Living God. It is a foundational encounter you must have. You must pray that everybody around your life, your church, they must have that encounter. What does it mean to encounter the Son of the Living God? That the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the gospel, will furnish the reality of the love of Jesus, the love of the Father, to your heart, and bring you to a point where you accept the truth of his substitutionary sacrifice. Are we together now? To the end that you receive of his life, eternal life, the Bible says, it's an encounter. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It says, whosoever hath the Son hath life eternal. Everybody say, encounter with the Son. There are many people today, I'm sorry to use this expression, but even people in ministry who operate the prophetic but have not had this encounter. I hope you know that. Yes. There are people who came just from tradition and then they came into the city and just continued what they were doing. An encounter with the Son of God. I know people who started having visions and had prophetic inclinations even before they got born again. Yes, that is a possibility. Your very wiring, your very prophetic wiring can tilt you to the prophetic. And people can begin to recognize it. Some of you know people like that in your villages. They are sincere people. They don't practice any evil that you know. But we call them seers. They have eyes that see. They can tell you, be careful. And what they say will happen exactly so. Can I tell you, those same people need encounters. The encounter with the Son of the Living God. This is doctrine. If you do not have an encounter with the Son of the Living God, you are in trouble. Why? Because no other encounter sustains the power to save you and translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. My brothers and my sisters, no matter how long you fast, no matter how long you pray, no matter how many realms and dimensions you step into, even if you go to heaven, even if it's the true heaven and you come down, if you don't have an encounter with the Son of the Living God, you are going to hell. It's as simple and honest as that. Are we learning? The first foundational encounter that every believer must have. Encounter with the Son of God. Number two, very quickly. The second encounter is an encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In that order. Second only to your encounter with the Son of the Living God, you need an encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Please look up. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not for pastors. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not for preachers. It's not just for some supernatural people. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. Jesus told us that he is the only surety to our being guided. He says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Satan can use truth to destroy. It's not only a lie that destroys. The truth can destroy too. Many believers have not been introduced into this encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit. An encounter with the Holy Spirit is more than praying in tongues. No. Just because hands were laid on you and you are praying in tongues, when we say, have you met the Holy Ghost? You say yes. No. 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 Just because you have eaten someone's food does not mean you've met the person. No, you benefited from the person. But have you met the person? Can I tell you this? Especially for those of us who are called into ministry. All those who have been mightily used by God from scripture and modern history and even today will tell you they can trace their exploits to this one encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've dealt with that here, so I don't want to go so deep into that. The Holy Spirit, realize, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not an archangel. The Holy Spirit is not one of those winds flowing in the realm of the Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is God. You can encounter his office. When you are encountering the Son, he plays a role there. But you can encounter the person of the Holy Spirit. It is true. The benefit of that encounter is guidance. I've taught you. The benefit of that encounter is empowerment, direction, the Holy Spirit. So that whatever you see and whatever you hear, you can trust him to guide you. He will tell you what is from him and he will tell you what is not from him. You do not use the purity of what you are seeing to know whether it's from God or not. No, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit that will help you decipher. You will see many good things in your Christian experience, but they are not from God. It's not in this kingdom, we don't deal with good or bad. We deal with whether the Holy Spirit is involved or not. No matter how good it is, If the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Father, is not involved in that process, stay away. No matter how good. Encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Koinonia, is God helping you tonight? So there are times while I'm having several visions, maybe in the miracle service and all of that, you see it happen. I can have the vision, say, of a coffin, and I can see death. Now, I don't just announce the Holy Spirit. Listen, all of those visions will pass through the sieve of these foundational visions, these foundational encounters. Are we together now? Any vision I see that does not glorify the Son, I will never announce it. I will throw it like that. The same way you are passing the street and you see a madman, you just know that somebody was there and you passed. You are focusing on what you are looking at. There are many other things you will see other than what God wants you to see. But you must first ask yourself a question. This is why I'm teaching you this. Because I have had this encounter with the Son of God. Every other encounter I have, I must ask myself, does this encounter reveal Jesus? And does this bring him glory? Either in my life or the life of those I'm about to minister to. If it does not capture the revelation of the Son and the glorification of the same, no matter how spectacular the vision is, I will dump it. Is someone learning now? An encounter with the Son gives balance to every other encounter you have. If it does not reveal the Son and does not bring him glory, throw it out of your life. Number two, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you direction. The Holy Spirit gives you guidance. Let me tell you this. I wish we had the time. I hope you know that in your Christian experience, you will get to a point where you will meet a lot of people with influences that produce results. But if you have a rich ministry with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to know that this is not the Holy Spirit. And you may even be able to help them. Listen, in my life and in ministry, I've had the opportunity of praying for people, especially kids. Kids that they brought that were demonstrating superhuman abilities. It was because of this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Remember in the book of Acts? The experience of Paul? Remember? The little girl who was using divination. Many of us now would have entered partnership with her in ministry. Many of us! You can't allow that opportunity to pass you by like that. That is a rich opportunity for strategic alliance. She even volunteered. This is a great man. I mean, what else would you, for someone to announce you using her credibility? But he looked and looked and said, no, something is wrong. The Holy Spirit. I have met people in my life. This is a true story. I have met people in my life who called my name and prophesied to me, and they were not Christians. They've not given their life to Christ. It's not something hidden. I remember one time, I think it was Niger, I was going to have a meeting, I think it was Niger Republic or so, and we flew to Lagos and then went by road. Somewhere when we were doing just the immigration formalities, I remember, some of you go to the market and you see these people, they are there, they can call your name with uncanny accuracy. If you do not have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, your search for visionary solutions will lead you to delusion. Joshua Selman, who are you? Well, I'm not exactly an evil person, but I'm not. By everybody's visionary experience is powered from a source. What source powers that vision? It is not the correctness of the information, it's the source that powers it. And listen, you have no right to just look at people and begin to judge them if your own relationship with the Holy Spirit is not alive. By what parameter? You will become judgmental and you will mix both good and bad and call everybody fake. It is on the strength of your relationship with the Holy Spirit you can decipher. Are we learning now? Yes, sir. There are times that I've shaken hands with people and I look at them sincerely and you see them manifesting a semblance of the anointing, and I know this is not God. Sometimes I make one statement and they are delivered there, and they themselves will be surprised. I know a woman one time that I prayed for. This woman would have visionary encounters. People would come to her house. She can pray for you. She said she had testimonies of people who were barren, who God opened their wombs. But she knew something was wrong, because when she lies to sleep, she will be tormented by evil spirits. Yet this gift supposedly was working in her life. The day I met her, she came. Thank God she was a sincere woman. She was honest and she told me. She said this is a gift that has been working in her life. People have sowed into her life. She's had results. But I knew this was not the spirit. Now, it didn't mean the woman was bad. I have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. I know how he operates. I know what is not him. And I held the woman's hands and I prayed for her. Why did they flog the apostles in the Bible? Because they tampered with somebody's way of getting money. There were some evil men who saw that young girl. And when they saw her, instead of them to lead her to someone who will help her, they decided to cash in on the opportunity while those demons continued to torment that girl. I love the apostles. When they came, they didn't have time for rubbish. They rebuked that spirit. Even though they flogged them later on, but at least Jesus was glorified. Are we together? Encounter with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Until you cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will never step into the realm of discernment and sensitivity. And in this end time, brothers and sisters, you need sensitivity. There are many things that look like God that is not God. There are many things that look like God speaking to your destiny. I can prophesy favor upon you now and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be favored. You will say amen. The moment you say amen, you will see a text in your phone after service, and it's 419 people. They will tell you, give us your account number, give us something, and there is some money that you want somewhere. Have you seen those kinds of people? And the devil will now connect it to the prophetic word of favor, and that begins your destruction, for instance. But when you know the Holy Ghost, you know how he operates. You know that this is not God, and you dump that nonsense out of your phone and give yourself rest. There are times you sit down and you are talking with people, you are about to do a business with them. They are so articulate, they are intelligent, everything is right. But here comes the Holy Ghost again. It tells you, no. I know I told you that I will bless you next week, but this is not it. The blessing is coming, but this is not it. And there are times that many things will not look like it, but it is it. It is still him that will tell you. You see, that is the strange thing with the Holy Spirit. You will see a job that does not look like it, and the Holy Ghost will tell you, take that job. 50,000? When I am waiting for one that will give me 250, and the Holy Ghost will tell you, take it. But this does not look like the vision I saw. Because you have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, he will say, take it. Whilst you are in that job, your uncle will come, and it is through that job you will be sent for a training, and you will meet your destiny helper. And within 5 months, you will leave that job into where God showed you now. Had you not heard God, you will not even know how to navigate to that realm. Are we learning now? Number three, very quickly. Encounter with the Word of God. It will never tire me to teach you this. You have to learn it. The third foundational encounter you must have, superior to all other encounters, is an encounter with the Word of God. Please look at me. If you are not sound in Scripture, deception will be, the devil will take you for a ride. You have to be sound in Scripture. Encounter with the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is a compendium of the mysteries of the kingdom. God's modus operandi. The Word of God reveals, number one, God's character. Number two, the Word of God reveals how God operates. When you encounter the Word of God, you know how God operates, and you know how he does not operate. There is a way the God of the Bible never operates. Never operates. Never operates. Most believers are not sound in scripture. That's why it's easy to fall into the trap of deception. The devil comes and markets all kinds of lies and just sways us like that. Listen, in this end time, we need high level illumination, knowledge of God's word to know what to do. There are people who have no business relocating abroad, but because they do not understand the character of scripture, someone just tells you, I want to lift you. You have to go back to that encounter. How does God lift? The things that are written aforetime, the Bible says, they are for our learning, so that we through the comfort of scripture might find hope. Many things that we have called greener pastures are not greener pastures. Greener pastures is the word of God. You see that? I'm not saying there's anything wrong having all these experiences, but the word of God must be your guide. Can I tell you this? As powerful as supernatural encounters are, if you start ministry just because you saw a vision, you will suffer as if it's not God that called you. There are people today who are frustrated, and sometimes sincere people, when they come, they say, Apostle, I can't understand. They will show me a documentation of their vision, and I know truly that vision came from God. But it is the principle of scripture that controls your success. The visions are only support systems to help guide your conviction. When Jesus came and walked upon the earth, is it not heaven that he came from? Why did he need to learn scripture? Why would you come from heaven through the womb of a woman and submit yourself to the learning of scripture? From heaven! Jesus did not come from the realm of the spirit. He came directly from heaven. Not even heaven, from the throne. He came to the earth and submitted himself to this encounter. So when Satan came, he didn't say, Satan, you are stupid. You forgot I am God. He said, it is written. He had a right to say, I hope you know I am God. Satan, I know this is you. My discernment is still in place. The Holy Ghost is in me. Leave this place. No, he wanted us to learn. So he said, it is written. For every temptation the devil brought, Jesus did not use his encounters for defense. He used scriptures. It is written. You don't tell the devil you are joking. God called me. That is nonsense. The realm of the spirit does not care. What has the Bible said as your system of defense? I can never fail. Why? I know what I saw. You are the only one who saw it. The realm of the spirit is asking you, why should we stop oppressing you? I saw a vision. In that vision, I saw a plant and it was bringing oranges. That's a vision, my brothers and my sisters. What will give you fruitfulness is it is written. I had many visions about Koinonia in Abuja. I would have been surprised and shocked, disappointed and frustrated if he was the only thing. If I place my vision on a billboard with my name written, hello Abuja, I am Joshua Selman. It happened on a Thursday night when I was sleeping. I saw the heavens open and I saw the map of Abuja. You'll just laugh and say, all these stupid people. Listen to me. This ministry thrives not just because of visions. The visions benefit us and add to our convictions. But everything works because it is written. One more time, shout it. Say, it is written. One more time, say, it. That means anything you tell me that is not consistent with what is written, I can change it. Because this foundational encounter is greater than any other encounter. A genuine man of God, even if it's me, I can look at you and say that based on the vision I'm seeing, I saw an obituary. This is the reason why you see many times when I prophesy to people, I tell them what I saw, but I'm quick to tell them, no, I'm not a prophet of doom. We have this encounter also. We have the power based on what is written to veto whatever it is that we have seen. This is what brings perspective to the operation of the prophetic. Imagine that you come and I leave you. I say, you came for Koinonia. I don't know what brought you here today. Because with what I'm seeing, I saw a coffin. May God show you mercy. No, I didn't know. Koinonia, why do you think you are going to succeed in life? Why do you think you will see the end of this year?
Listen. Why do you think the dream you saw them dragging your trouser in your primary school in that dream? Why do you think you will still succeed in spite of it? Listen to me.